thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone deserves our worship. He alone is the reason that we tune in this broadcast and go out of our way to make sure we're here at a certain time every day, just making a difference and sitting 3 feet from me, still continuing on with this broadcast. My friend Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, Sergeant Major Carriger.
What a life we live.
Corporal Rob, yeah, reporting for duty.
Yeah, amen, brother. What a God we serve, folks. And today we're going to be looking at this subject of Do You Love Me? A very familiar passage in the Bible in the book of John, chapter 21, talking about Peter there. And we know that, as Kevin had stated a couple days ago, that that they went back to their go-to thing, back out there fishing, trying to make a living. And we come along, and so when they had dined, the Bible said, remembering we're on verses today, we're doing 15 through 19. So when they had died, Jesus saith unto Peter, and I'm going this first, and then we'll go back to this later as we usually do. Son of Jonas, lovest thee more than these? And I think he's pointing all these great fish. He saith unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. So he said, now go out there and share the gospel and do those things. Then he saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him again, feed my sheep. He said, go out there and work with these people. Do you love me? He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him unto a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest of things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And, you know, folks, as we look at that and we never want God to have to ask us three times. And there's a lot of different reasons why people say three times. He's trying to get Peter's attention. There's three kind of love in the Greek. You got agape love, the love that only Christ can give, serious love. What level of love? Some people think that you love me. Hey, Peter, I want to get your attention. Do you love me that much? Really? Do you love me more than these fish? Really? Really? I mean, do you double love me? Do you triple love me? And we got to remember that when God talks about love, he commended his love toward us. He loved us so much, we get to be saved. He loves us so much, we get to be part of that. And we love him. Remember what the Bible says over in 1 John 4. It says, we love him because he first loved us. And then that great verse, for God so loved the world, love. And when we think about Christ, one of the things that should automatically pop in our minds, one of those things that should just grab a hold of us by the collar, one of those things, no matter where we're coming from, no matter where we've been, is Christ's love. When we think of God, we should think of love, Kevin. When we think of Christ, we should think of love.
Yeah. What a lover. Mm-hmm. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. The text we're going to read in a little while is going to be Peter here later in the broadcast, but Peter was put on trial here for his love relationship with Jesus, lovest thou me. So the Savior knows how to draw out of us our love state with him. And, you know, any lover wants to know, do you really love me? You know, are you sure you love me? And you know, not that they're always asking that, not that they have to live in
some
doubt.
Do. But some are kind of hard up, yeah.
Yeah. But, but in 1 Peter 1:8, it's interesting that in Peter's first epistle, by the way, he uses love or a form of the word love many times in his epistles. But Peter, in 1 Peter 1:8, I think it's the first occurrence of love in one of his writings, says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though ye now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is a verse that just describes Peter saying, you know what, we love Jesus with all of our heart, don't we? Yeah, we love him though we haven't seen him. Yeah. And then if you read the broader context, Peter is writing about trauma. In 1 Peter, that's the trauma book. Of all the epistles, it's written about suffering. And over, Peter says, like in the verse immediately preceding this, verse 7 of 1 Peter, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor at the glory and appearing of Jesus Christ. Love is so valuable that it gets put to the test. And I think it's in the Song of Solomon, it says, love is, a man could not give all that he has for love. It's just, it's a burning in his heart, this thing of genuine love, not lust, but love. And a genuine Christ-like love, it burns in your heart.
Right.
And Peter's saying, you know what, you guys, you're going through trial. For a season, it says, if need be, you're going through a fiery trial. As you go through this trial, you cannot see him. You cannot even feel him. But guess what? If you reach down inside, you will have to admit that you still love him. And the people that go through something and said, Lord, no matter what, I may lose everything. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust him. That's a pretty big deal to me, Doug, that he is telling these people, I was put through the fire by Jesus Christ, out by the fire of coals, to get me to realize, yes, I do love God, and what's it mean? And he said, I want you guys to have the same thing in your trial.
Yeah, and you know, you can't help, Kevin, as you were talking, but remember, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me.
Yeah.
And that three comes back, and just
yeah, I lovest thou me. Oh, yeah, three times.
Hey Peter, do you love me?
My soul.
Hey Peter, do you love me? And I'll tell you, I hope God never has to ask me that question on heaven, in heaven, or here on earth in my heart. Sometimes I feel like he says, "Hey Doug, do you love me?" You know, and I'm stuck in the middle of my stupidness and craziness and hard-headedness and hard-heartedness, and to have God say, hey, Doug, do you love it? Do you really love me? Would you deny me? If you were Peter out there at the trial and the crucifixion, would you be running? Would you be hiding? Would you be denying me? And for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's how much he loves you. He's one God. He's there for you. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly, Kevin. Again, there's the abundance, love, abundance, eternal abundance.
Yeah, yeah, just like the fish were abundant in the water. Mm-hmm. You know, the water was teeming with fish. Just, it was an incredible catch. That's what the Lord wants to have in our heart, not just in our net. That's a picture of the heart, really, here. And so, you know, the Lord and Peter are going through this thing of getting the love teeming in his heart abundantly, just splashing out all over the place. You know, I'd rather have my heart ripping open because there's so much love. I want to err on the side of that the heart is ripping open because of love for God and for my fellow man with the gospel, than have it ripped open because of just, you know, disuse or misuse. I want to be in love with the Lord.
Yeah, I want him to feel my love. And, you know, it's like our loved ones. I don't know if you're the kind of parent or you're the kind of friend or neighbor or family member that uses the word love, but use that word a lot. And it really makes people smile inside and out and really makes a difference in people's lives. Use that word love a lot. And I'll tell you, God loves you a lot. And because of that, boy, we get to know what love is. We get to imitate him. We get to love others. I don't want people to ever leave this earth without knowing how much I love them. I can't tell you how many people I've come across in my life who've said to me, I wish I would have loved so-and-so more, and they passed away. I lost this person in my life. A lot of times it's a spouse. Sometimes it's a sibling. Sometimes it's a parent. But I know the people I've lost in my life, I always go back and say, Lord, did I say I love them enough? Did I show them how much I care? And one thing that'll prove interpersonal communication, whether in a family, in a workplace, and just life. I'm telling you, is letting people know you care. And that's a lesson we can imitate from God. And we don't imitate going around saying, do you love me? We go around and say, you know what? I really care for you. If you love somebody, let them know. Hey, I love you, man. And that makes a big difference. You know, some of the people I'm closest to in the Army to this day, I tell them, to this day, I still, when they call and stuff, I say, hey, I love you, man. Be good. Take care. And be that person. If God gives us anything out of this, do you love me? Show people you love them. Care about people. Show them and that it's about God's love. There's one God, and he's there for you. He's your mediator. He's the one taking care of your salvation. He gives you love. He gives you life eternal and even more abundant. Hey, hang with us. We'll be right back with you.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Hey, and we continue on. Here we are in the life of Christ doing a verse-by-verse exegetical study in the book of John and looking at what the Lord has for us today. We're reading verses, we're in John chapter 21, I'm sorry, verses 15 through 19. And as I get older, I got to pull my computer a little closer to me. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these, pointing toward those fish? Saith unto them, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He's saying, Peter, you're the old guy. You're the guy who jumped out of the boat and came and hugged me. You're the guy who went and pulled the fish. You're the guy doing everything. Do you love me? And then look at this next verse here. It says, but he said unto him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, and folks, I'd be grieved. He probably had tears in his eyes. He probably was beginning to realize what was going on there, because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto the Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And then verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto them, follow me. And what a great verse. What an instruction that is. You know, he's concluding everything by instructing Peter, by instructing his disciples, follow me. You love me? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Do you really love me? Follow me. And you know, and here's Jesus. He's telling Peter, this is your future. You know, that you're going to be in old age. Other people are going to have to gird you. There's things you need to do. While you got health, while you got vitality, this is the time you got to go ahead and do this. And Jesus isn't predicting anyone's future here. He knows that we're getting old. He knows. And folks, I got to tell you something. I'm thankful that God has still given me health where I can get up, go for a walk, or go to the gym or something like that and make a difference. And here's Jesus saying, well, go do this. And just engage in Peter. Just engage in Peter. And again, we're in that role of imitating God, even in the midst of our craziness, in the midst of our life. And he's symbolizing people by lambs and sheep. And he's saying, okay, I'm restoring your denial. That's what I feel like was going on here, Kevin. I feel like those three questions, I think he's restoring Peter right here.
Yeah.
Three denials. Do you love me, Peter? That's one. That's the first time you deny me. Do you love me, Peter? That's the second time you deny me. Third time, do you love me? I think there's restoration going. I'm so glad God's in the restoration business.
You know it. I am so glad too. God intervenes. God restores. God shows up. I am I'm thinking, by the way, I notice it's a real good word you use when you say we're just exegeting this, being exegetical, whatever. The exegesis we're trying to do as we go through these verse by verse is the opposite of eisegesis, because, and I've heard it explained years ago, exegesis is where you are led out of the text. That's what the word literally means. Eisegesis is you're leading things into the text. So you could say you're leading God one way, and the other way is God's leading you. And by letting this thing lead itself in this passage of Scripture, you're right. There's these three occurrences of these questions. And, the context is Jesus, along the Sea of Galilee, takes Peter aside. And this is his restoration. And it's you could call it a walk along the ocean. And as he's walking along the ocean, he's saying, "Do you love me more than these?" He might have been pointing out to all the boats and saying, "Do you love me more than these?" He might have been pointing out to the draft of fish that were laying there, in the net, and saying, "Do you love me more than these?" And what I just think that's probing questions to say, you know what, you are really going back to this because you're falling back on it. You're falling back on your old life because you want something familiar. In your trauma, in our trauma, by the way, folks, I'm sure there's someone here that is, I've been there, very tempted to say, forget, I'm going to go back to my old trade. You know, there's preachers and missionaries that listen to this, and you wouldn't be the first one to say, there's got to be something I'm better at.
Yep.
And I'm going to go back and do what I'm used to. And so you explore your gifts and so forth. And I'm going to say, be careful in those times, because what hast thou that thou hast not received? God's given us the gifts that we have to glorify him. Now, if you've got to shift gears, then shift gears. But if God is saying, no, I'm walking you along the ocean. I want to point to the things that seem really attractive to you right now. And you say, you know what? That old life sounds really good. It seems secure. It seems stable. It seems familiar. Everybody, there's happy times. Hey, don't forget, there's unhappy times with those. But more importantly, Jesus says, you know what? What about your heart? Do you actually, you used to love me with all your heart, but because of this trauma, you're struggling. And you're looking back at these things that are familiar, and he's saying, do you really love those things, or do you love me? What about those things? What about me? And I think that these are probing questions that, just like you said, the number three, Doug, all those things made it obvious that Peter was being kind of backed into a corner where he needed to go, where he would choose to go himself if he could bring himself to that place. But he couldn't bring himself to that place because he was just beat up. And by the devil. And so the Lord came to set the captive free by saying, let me talk to you about these fish. Mm. Let me talk to you about these boats. And let me talk to you about your heart. And he took him down this path, Doug, where he just was left saying, you know what? There's something about, where Peter said, there's something about that voice. There's something about this Savior. You know what? I'm going to forsake these things again. And I think I'll just go ahead and give him the benefit of the doubt, as it were, and launch out into the deep again. And boy, what a difference it made when he came out of the gates of Pentecost, really restored.
Yeah. And, you know, we learn so much about obedience in these verses too. And, you know, this is a lesson on obedience. This is a lesson on discipline. I think there's disciplines that a believer have, you know, and that we have to have. And I think discipline, it's not only for the pastors and the missionaries and the teachers and the families and all that stuff. There's an obedience that comes along with discipline. And the discipline, like Kevin was saying, there's those days you wake up and say, boy, I could go back to this old thing I did. I could go work for the government. I could do this. Just in 2020, one of the phone calls I received after 2020 is the Army wanted me to go back on active duty for a while. And and folks, I got to tell you, they were gathering all these people up for this fight against the coronavirus, and they wanted me to go to D.C. And they're saying, listen, you can you can come here. You won't have to wear a uniform. You won't have to take a PT test, you know. You could just come here, be Sergeant Major Kiriger, and do a few years to get us through this pandemic. That's back when the pandemic was going to change the world forevermore. And I said, you know, I'm serving God. And then things changed. They called up and said, why don't you keep your retirement, keep everything you're doing, and come be a GS-13 with us, which at that time was $101,000 plus, you know, moving me and things of that nature, having a government job. And because I was really good at doing some of the things they wanted me to do, I spent a whole career doing tracking things, tracking people, tracking things that people, qualifications and things. But, you know, God's like, have I let you down? I remember praying about it, and it was almost audible as I read God's word. You know, have I let you down, Doug? Have I not seen every one of your needs? And folks, I got to tell you, I would have missed this. Remember what God's done for you. Trust in it. Do you love me? Ask that question about Christ today. Listen, we sure do love you guys. Come by tomorrow. We're going to be talking about avoiding distractions as we serve God. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.